okay, now you're going to think I've gone over to eat them. And you're going to say, oh, what a depressing start to the sermon. But I thought a lot as I prepared for the sermon today, and particularly read the passage in Acts, about one of the tasks I did probably almost as often as weekly worship when I was pastor of a church. I did a lot of funerals. Now I know you're going to say, oh no, he's going to talk about funerals, how depressing. But I found as a pastor that when it was a person who had lived a good and long and fruitful life, it was really an opportunity for celebration. Friends and family would come from all over, even sometimes from other countries. They would gather together as they prepared for the funeral, and they would gather to greet and welcome friends and family. I wonder if it felt that way a little bit as Peter enters our story now. We hear the story about Tabitha, and we hear that upon her death, they immediately find Peter, who is nearby, and as one of the disciples, they ask him to come and be with him. And as so often happened to me as a pastor, and I suspect to Ricky as well, almost immediately upon entering the house, they usher him upstairs to where her body lay, and they begin telling him stories. Oh, they show him tunics and things she had made, and they get all excited, and they're crying and they're laughing all at the same time. They're showing him her beautiful handiwork, and remembering their connection with her. Even the author begins with this small, short, seemingly insignificant story. It's a powerful verse. He begins by telling us, now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which is in Greek, Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. In this short verse, he sets the scene and he tells us so much about this woman. First, he tells us that, yes, now I want you to listen very carefully here, Tabitha was a disciple. So anytime you want to hear arguments about not ordaining women, I'm just saying, Tabitha was a disciple, and they used the same Greek word that they used for the other disciples, and all you Czech speakers will understand this when I say, this version is a feminine, the only feminine use of this noun in the New Testament. He makes the point of saying, Tabitha was a disciple. And then he goes on to say that she was devoted to good works and charity, that she embodied this call she felt to serve God as one of God and Jesus' followers. So although they must have been heartbroken to experience her death, they were filled with joy at thinking about the contribution she had made to their lives and to their church. And how often when we lead a funeral, we get to hear the wonderful stories of people that maybe we've even known in our pastoral care for a long time, but you find out some great things about people that they never told you. And I can imagine that Peter heard wonderful stories of how Tabitha served their community and how she served God. And of course, the reason they could stand there and share these stories and talk to Peter in this way is because they were grounded in a reality that weaves its way through all our lessons today. I know you heard the great Psalm 23, you thought, oh no, another sermon about sheep. But our passages are powerful ones today, the one from the Gospel and from the Psalter, because they make an assertion that is the foundation of our faith. Pastor and teacher Jill Guthrie, I thought, said it really well when she said, there is the unqualified promise that once we belong to God, we are in God and forever. once we belong to God, we are in God's hands. I'm not quite sure about the Anglican service, although I feel very Anglican today, but I know when I did the service in the Presbyterian Church, generally I would begin with these opening sentences. If we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are yours. And then I often follow these words, which fit very well for today. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom. So it might seem a little depressing that I'm talking to you about funerals. Initially I was going to wear this black scroll, which I guess is a teacher's scroll, so I don't know, that might have fit in some way. You might be, oh man, she's talking a lot about funerals. But you know, whether we like it or not, we have to face the reality that in many ways, the funeral is kind of the culmination of life's experience. So often in life, we encounter our own kind of new deaths. Sometimes we encounter those momentous ones when beloved family and friends die, but so often there are perhaps less momentous ones than that, so as significant for us. And I firmly believe, and perhaps this is from my days as a hospital chaplain as well, but I firmly believe that how we learn to deal with death teaches us a lot about living life abundantly. We, all of us gathered here in this place, in this time of worship, we can do this. We can confront death because we hold on to the promise that is true for all of us. Whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord. Well, we are the Lord. Jesus knew it. He tried to talk to those who would come and listen to him, who kept wanting more signs and weren't paying any attention. He kept trying through his life and his ministry. He showed it over and over again. He knew that in life and in death, and in his resurrection, he belongs to the Lord. And the psalmist knew it. How often have all of us heard this psalm, often read at funerals, but perhaps at other times, that have given us great comfort to hear those powerful words about the good shepherd. And the ladies that gathered around Tabitha after her death, they knew it. They knew that they and Tabitha both belonged to God, and not even death would separate them. In fact, Peter knows it so well. I mean, you know, you gotta give Peter some applause here. I mean, most of us have to just show up and hear the story. But no! Peter goes in the room and raises her from the dead. I can assure you I have never done that, and I don't think I ever will. I would probably not try to. But he knew he wanted to demonstrate for them in a way they would never forget, which I bet they never did, that in life, and in death, and in life again, they all belong. So sometimes it is in that process of facing death that we are urged to celebrate. We celebrate the promise that we belong to God, no matter what. And we celebrate the life of that which is gone. Now today, we have to admit it. I don't want to admit it, but we have to. In a way, we kind of mark a small moment. A transition. A change. At least it feels that way for me. And I'm going to try really hard to get to this part of the sermon. I'm leaving. I'm leaving this powerful and important phase of my life. And embarking on something else. With great sadness, I'm leaving this wonderful city of Prague that I have really come to love, and just less than 6 years, it has just really become a part of who I am. And I wish I could remember it, but I remember seeing a t-shirt once. If I find it again, I have to buy it. This is, once Prague is in your heart, it's in your heart forever. And I believe that is true. So I'm leaving this beautiful city I've come to love. I'm leaving my ministry with the Evangelical Church of Czech Brethren. working in the medical department. I'm meeting my colleagues there and the friends that I have made. And today, of course, I mark it a very difficult week for me in that I'm meeting St. Clement. And it has been an important part of my life and ministry, not only to have a community here and to be a part of it, but to be able to be a pastor to you in many ways. Thankfully, I haven't had to do any funerals for this. I'm grateful. Obviously, hasn't done many. We've done a couple. And celebrated the lives of some important people who have passed through towards them. And I'm embarking on a pretty unknown future still. I want you to keep praying. I hope sometime this week. I sure hope a job offer is coming my way, but we'll see. And even though it's painful and I don't want to leave and it breaks my heart in many ways and I kind of try not to think about it sometimes, I can do it with confidence. Because I know, even in the pain of this leaving, this letting go and this saying goodbye, and this walking into an unknown future, I know that no matter what happens to me, I belong to God. I am the Lord. And I can leave you in good hands because I know each and every one of us in this room, all of us, belong to the Lord. Jesus is our good shepherd and takes us through the joyous and painful parts of our lives. Now, I'm not giving you an invitation to eulogize me or anything, so I don't want you to get carried away here. But let's celebrate. Let's celebrate what we have had together, the life we have shared over the last 5+ years. And let's celebrate the ways in which St. Clement is and will continue to be an important light of the gospel here in this city. Let's celebrate the reality and the promise before us in our lives today. That no matter what happens, each and every one of us in our faith community belong to the Lord. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord. And Jesus' words are a reminder to us today, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom. As one alternative call it for the day, for which I thought so well. O God, whose Son Jesus is the good shepherd of your people, grant that when you hear his voice, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen.